Right, we're starting here at the top of Lamed Hayim with Aleph. We finished up the last sugyo was the question of how do we know the din in the fosho, the Gemara din has to be during the yom. The Gemara brought a proof from the pasuk in Bamidbar, the hoka, hutam lashem neged ha-shamish, that means during the daytime. The Gemara says hoka must be tliyah. They brought that from the proof from the grandchildren of Shaul that were hung, ayidei agiva unim, right, to satisfy the wrongs that Shaul had done to them by wiping out Nov ir ha-kohanim. But over there, the Gemara brings a proof to the fact that the Gemara din must be during the yom, is that the execution must be during the yom. So the Gemara takes it as a given that execution and Gemara din are one and the same. We'll see that today as we move through the sugya, we'll see that execution must come immediately after the Gemara din. Now the Gemara comes back to the question of dini mamonot gomrim bo bayom. Comes to dini mamonot, you can finish on that day, whereas dini nefashot bay halanot, right, they've been required to wait overnight. So menahani mili. How do you know that fact that they have to wait on these issues? So Amar Bchino, Damar Kuro, the pasuk says, Mle'ati Mishpat. Right, this city, this is the of Torah for Shabbos Chazon. Right, it's the first parak in Yishayo. The city, the beautiful Yerushalayim, was full of justice. Right, Tzedek Yalin Ba, righteousness would stay over there. V'ata, and now Miratzchim, it's full of murderers. So the drash that the Rav Chanina is suggesting is that originally it was tzedek yalin ba. That originally, why were they righteous? Because they let the din stay overnight, yalin ba. But now, atah, they just go ahead and they kill menatzchim, they don't wait overnight, so therefore, that's the problem. So you see from over there that the proper way is halanat din to wait overnight. Rabba mar miocha. Rabba says it's from here. Again, same from the parak, same parak in Yeshayahu, that ashrei chamotz, right, that you should make sure to vindicate the victims. I mean, ashru chamotz. Shru chamotz means make sure that you take care or straighten out the wrongs that are done to the victims. So how do you do? Ashru, but he's going to make it ashru. Ishru dayan shemechametz dino. Right, so praiseworthy will be the dayan that's mechametz. Right, he lets his din ferment, meaning that he lets it go overnight. So it's a play on the word. Ashru chamotz means take care of the victims. Over here is, how do you take care of the victims? Is that the dayan is mechametz dino. Vidach, ashru chamotz. What about the other party, mean Rav Chanina? What does he do with that buzz? So he says, but it says, ashru chamotz velo chometz. It says, take care of the victim and not of the, here would be the person who wronged. Right, so we're not talking about the chamotz as the victim and not the person that did the wrong over here. If you say that you have to be mechametz the din, who are you protecting? You're protecting the person that did the wrong. I mean, you're doing the perpetrator of the crime that you're protecting. Over here, the Navi is saying you have to protect the victim and not the perpetrator of the crime. Being mechametz the din is to the benefit of the criminal.
Yeah, Rashi says what the case was.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's it. Rashi says, it's a difficult case. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi somewhat. Rashi says over here about the, what do they do with this drasha of Ashrei Chamotz? He says over here, Minayin shenizkakim letovei tchila. How do we know that the plaintiff, that we listened to his case first, that he brings him to din, that he lent him money, he doesn't pay. And he has a counterclaim that he's holding on to my shkon, but it's lost, or you ruined it, or it's lost. We take care of the claim first, that he owes him money, and then we deal with the mashkon. So Rashi suggests over here that even though there's a counterclaim that seems to be related to the same case, we still take care of the person who comes first, who is the one, the victim first. Who's the victim here? The victim is the one who is owed money and he hasn't received his money. Then only then do we deal with the other individual who claims there was also a mashkon involved in this case. So Tosfos takes issue with that. He says, I don't understand. Why would you be matriche based in twice? It's the exact same case. Just deal with the two individuals together, combine the case, and say, look, is there a mashkon to this loan? Was there no mashkon to loan? Take care of the whole case. So the Tosfos looks for a solution or a middle ground of where it is that we say we go to the Tovea first, and where do we say the Nidva first? So he says, the Riva, it's towards the end of that Tosfos, says, Riva perish nizkakim la Tovea tchila, perish hanu la kabel edav tchila. When it comes to the case, it's not that we only accept his claim and the counterclaim we bring in a different case. No. Both claims are brought together, they're combined, the case is consolidated, but we allow the Tovea to bring his evidence first. We allow him to bring his edim first. So nafkamino, what does it make a difference? If they're going to bring all the evidence in the end, why does it make a difference? It says, oh, in case the Edim are going to leave town, or in case the Edim die. So we give benefit to the Tovea, that he gets to bring his Edim first. So says, what do you mean? How could you be? If this, how bad could this be that Zilei Nechse, that we wouldn't take care of him? If his Edim are going to leave town, we're going to say, no, let the Tovea go first, you won't have your Edim. No, of course we're going to let the other Edim come first. So he says, V'yesh mefarshim, and he gives another, Shezet Tovea shechaval bo. והנדבה אומר שיביא עדים היום או למחר משאר תביעות שיש לו עליו תזקקים לתובי התחילה. That the claims have nothing to do with each other. That's what Tosa says, that one claim is a tovea, that he is chovel, that it was nezek over here. And the other guy says, well, you owe me money. So that's a counterclaim that doesn't have any relationship to the claim that's being brought now. So in that case, we say we are nizkak letoveya, and then afterwards we deal with the nidba. So that Tosus is less comfortable with Rashi about splitting up the cases when it seems to be that it's a similar case. But anyway, what Rashi is making the point here is that when we talk about ashru chamot, deal with the victim, means either the victim is and not the criminal over here, like in our case, that you don't want the alana to din, it's not the issue. Whereas Rashi points out, we deal with the one who's been wronged. The one who's been wronged is the plaintiff, the one who wants to make his claim here. He has money taken away from him, he wants to be taken care of. Or, for Tetosis, that means Hudo Nechbal, the one who was injured, and he wants to collect his money for the injuries. Alright, Vidach, what does Rava do with the Pasuk of Mlei Ati Mishpat, Tzedekalin Bava Tamiratzchim? What is it? Anybody, any tanit in which they leave over money, that's tzedakah money, and they don't give it to the aniim, it's like they killed him. Shenemar meleati mishpat tzedek. Right, so what does that mean? Meleati mishpat tzedek yalin bo. Right, that's tzedakah. You can't lead it over. Atam mitzvotchim. If you are, so really you have to split the pot. Meleati mishpat tzedek. That's the right way to do it. Yalin bo, atam mitzvotchim. If you leave it over, tzedakah yalin bo, then atam mitzvotchim. Then you are killers. What is the story? It's the same thing as Mikra Megillah, that the Einei Aniyim are Mitzapeh. They're looking, right? When they have Mikra Megillah, they associate with Mikra Megillah Matanot Aniyim. So they're looking for the Matanot Aniyim. So that's why we put it together with Mikra Megillah. What's over here? The Aniyim associate with the Ta'anit, the receipt of Tzedakah, and therefore they're Taloi. They're looking for the Tzedakah to come. If you don't give it to them, it's Kilu Shofech Tamim. I went to the Rabbeinu Chananel, takes it to the point almost of literally. He says that the Rabbeinu Chananel here quotes Sheini Aniim Nisuut Behen. They're looking for Mitzapim Lehem Kadesh Yochlu Oto BaErev. They're going to use that money to eat that night after the fast. Ve'im Echinin Lehen Mashi Yochlu, and they don't prepare any meal to break the fast on. They assume they're going to get this Tzedakah to break their fast, and then when they don't get it, Bekeim Shulantan Lehem Zenim Tzamitim Alaylo Klo Barav. They all starve on that night. I mean, they really could pass away. He's talking about Shofech Damim in the literal sense, right? Not in the figurative sense. The same idea that the aniyim are anticipating the money, and it's incorrect to not take care of them. Similar halachot in general, whenever a person, for instance, buys behema, a person must feed his behema before he feeds himself. Anybody who is dependent on you, you must take care of them before you take care of yourself personally. So the same thing would be aniyim. I'm not comparing them, chas v'shalom, to behema, but I'm just saying, the idea that they are dependent on you for their tzedakah, you must first take care of the aniyim, right? And then take care of the yourself. So how do you do that? You ensure that the tzedakah has been distributed, and then you break your fast, so you take care of ending your fast. That's only true with bread and dates and the fruit that goes along with the bread. Items that are eaten immediately that are made for a meal. When we're talking about monies, wheat and barley, which are longer term, take much more preparation, there's no assumption that he's going to prepare it that night, right, from the fast. That, you don't have to worry about. That could wait till the next morning, that's fine. But the issue is things that are immediately useful to him and necessary to him, that you must give it to him right away, and you can't have that bilan, you can't have that leave overnight. Right now, the fikach, in danim be'erev Shabbos ve'erev Yom Tov, because of this demand that they have halana tadin, you can't do it on Erev Shabbos, and you can't do it on Erev Yom Tov. My time, b'shum de lo efshar. It's impossible, that's why you can't do it. Why? Heichi la'avid. So what are you going to do? Give me the options. What are you going to do? Have the din on Erev Shabbos. And you'll finish the din on Erev Shabbos. So that's fine, as long as what? There's no tzad chiyuv. He's not found guilty. The problem is if they see something to the guilty side, or they want to incriminate him, Right? Then, ubalam evad alanat adin. Then you can eat alanat adin. So Bar says, fine. L'dani b'malei shabto. V'ligmeri v'shabto. No problem. You'll have alanat adin. We'll have the din on, we'll do the masa matan deliberations on Friday, Erev Shabbos, and then on Shabbos we'll have the gemar din. V'likadle b'shabto, and then you kill him on Shabbos. So Bar says, ein ritzicha dochet to Shabbos. What do you mean? You can't do that because you can't, ritzicha is not doche Shabbat. V'liktale l'orto. Right, what about killing him that night? Wait till Matzah Shabbos, and you kill him on Matzah Shabbos. Right, it says, Neged Hashemesh Be'inah. We need it to be during the daytime. Right, so, V'ligmei L'dinei B'Shabto, V'ligkatlei B'chad B'Shabto. Let's do the Gemar Din. So you have this, you have the deliberations on Friday of Shabbos, you have the Gemar Din on Shabbos, and you have the execution on Sunday, no problem. Nimtza Tame Ene Edino. You're causing him tremendous pain and discomfort. There's no such thing as death row. Death row does not exist in halacha. As soon as the psak halacha is given and we determine that he's deserving of death, we want to put him to death immediately so he doesn't have to live with that and have it hanging over him. As long as there's a chance that he might be acquitted, we say don't worry about halanat adin or leaving things, drawing it out, because he always has hope. As long as he has hope, it's great. But once he knows all hope is gone, there's no reason to drag it out. So you gotta put him to death right away. So now, that was what we said before. The Gemara brought the proof before. How do you know that Gemara Din has to be during the day? Right? We brought a proof from the execution. They brought a proof from the Vahokotam Neged HaShemesh. So you see that the Gemara over here says that they must be, right, juxtaposed, they must be right next to each other sequentially, I mean that you have the Gemar Din, and then you have the execution, we don't wait between them. So therefore, if the execution's in the day, certainly the Gemar Din's then. I mean, they're gonna be right next to each other. So, Nidaine B'Malei Shabto. So let's say, do the Din on Malei Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, B'Nigbara B'Chad B'Shabto, and then finish up on Sunday. What's the big deal? You wanna have a lot of Din, you can think about it for 2 days. Why is it thinking about it for 1 day? We have 2 nights, you can think about it. So Gemara says, Minshu Tamayu. They'll forget their reasons. They'll forget what they were arguing about, the deliberations. So Gemara says, V'afa gab d'shnei sofrim adayanim omdim lifneim v'kodvim divrim azakim divrim achayivim. Even though you have two stenographers there, one putting down the tzad zchut for anything that is in his favor, anything that's against him, and writing down. So what do you mean you're going to forget it? You just take out the court recorders, and you look at it and see what they wrote. Why do you have to worry about that? So despite the fact that there were stenographers there, Nehida Puma Katzvinan Liba de Inche Inche. It's an amazing line here. It's a tremendous line. It's fine. You can remind a person about what they said. What you can't replicate is the feelings that they have and the depth of understanding they have of that feeling. I mean, it's many times you have an idea, you express an idea, and then you can find on paper, you see this, and you say, oh my goodness, yeah, that was the idea expressed, but you forgot how to put it together, the depth of what your understanding of that idea was at the time. There are many things that converge to give you a feeling or a sense of defending that time or understanding the time to a depth. But you can, again, you can remind yourself of that reason, but you cannot bring back those feelings or depth of understanding. And so that Gemara says, we don't want to leave it for 2 days because of that problem. Okay, hilkach lo efshar. But because of that, it is impossible, and therefore we do not do a din on Erev Shabbos, and not on Erev Yom Tov. Tosfos points out one little issue is that the Gemara in Beitza, the Mishnah in Beitza, really says, what are Elohim Mishun Shvut? These are certain things that are surmi derabanan, lodanin, that you don't have din. So what do you mean you don't have din? Why? We just said over here the problem of din on Shabbos is that you can't execute on Shabbos. If you can't execute on Shabbos, that's the problem. Nothing to do with shavus, of a din derabanan, it's a din daraisin. You can't execute a person on Shabbos. So Tosfos answers maybe that's dafka bedine mamononot. By din mamononot, shem egzer shem yichtov, because you might write it down. That's one possibility. About dinei nefashot in lasur mitam zeh. Dinei nefashot is not the reason. Kvar katvu mitmol divrei mezakim divrei mechayvin. Because by dinei nefashot in the deliberations, it was already recorded. All you're doing now is the Gemara Din. The Gemara Din, you don't need to write anymore. On Shabbos. If you do the Gemara Din on Shabbos, if you do dinei mamonos on Shabbos, you do the whole thing on Shabbos. Therefore, it's a problem of writing it down. By dinei nefashot, the problem is not writing down because it was already written on Erev Shabbos. So why can't you do it on Shabbos? It's because to execute him, to do the Gemara Din on Shabbos.
Because we learned just now.
Right. So that's Patoza asks, why is the Gemara in Beitza say it's Mishum Shavuos?
There's an answer.
The answer is not. It's not Mishum Shavuos because that's dealing with Dinei Mamonos. This is dealing with Dinei Nefashot. So you're separating between the two different types of cases. A capital case, the problem is the execution. By a monetary case, the problem is that Shem Yichtov, that maybe he'll write it down. Right now we're going to go into a basically a gemara that's going to last us through the rest of this of today's daf. This is a question that was posed by Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. And the gemara is going to go through logic. We see this in gemara's other places. Gemara is going to try to determine how do we know certain things are docha, other things, and maybe we can have kal v'chomers, logical arguments, to extend it to something else. Then the gemara will bring a pasuk to say, no, you can't do that, or this is the rule in this case, this is the rule in this case. So that'll be the remainder of the daf. What I do want to get to, there's two very big important sugyot v'iyun that I really would like to get to, so hopefully we'll get through the sugyos and then we'll spend some time on the iyun. Alright, so amale Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Utehei kivurat meit mitzvah doche Shabbos. So when it comes to kivurat meit mitzvah, it should be doche Shabbos. If the bury a meit mitzvah, it should be doche Shabbos. Again, nothing to do with our Gemara. Later on, the Gemara is going to bring something that's related to our case over here, but right now, it's nothing to do with our Gemara. Mikal v'chomer. So kal v'chomer. Uma avodah shedoche Shabbat. When it comes to avodah, it is doche Shabbat. Right? Kivurat meit mitzvah doche otah. And we know that kivurat meit also is doche avodah. Mila achoto. Because of achoto. So here it's just a transitive property, just an easy logical argument. If you have avoda that is doche Shabbat, and you have meit mitzvah that is doche avoda, then it's certain that meit mitzvah should be doche Shabbat. It's transitive property that if A is greater than B and B is greater than C, then certainly A is greater than C. So that's the case here. Certainly meit mitzvah should be, may be able to be doche Shabbat. So now the Gemara says, how do I know that meit mitzvah is doche avodah? Where do I know that from? Kedetanyo, Eva Breisa, Lachi, Lavi, Velimo, Lachi, Velachoto, Matamalomer, by Nazir. It has all of his family members that he's not allowed to be mitameh for. Why do I need this? Because it already says, there, Alchol Nafshol meit, lo yavo. He's not allowed to touch any mate. So why do I need him to repeat these four relatives? So the Gemara darshins, the Medrash Talocha darshins from there, that each one of these items comes to teach you something. Laviv comes to teach you that even by a case where he is a nazir, right, he still has to be metameh for meit mitzvah. Then it says, what about the what do you need for the imo? The imo comes to teach you that even if he's a kohen in hejot and a nazir, he still has to be metameh le meit mitzvah. Long comes achiv. What do you learn from that? That even if he's a kohen gadol and a nazir, he still has to be metameh le meit mitzvah. Then you have lachoto. What do you need anymore? There's nothing left. Nazir kohen nazir by himself. Nazir a kohen hejot. Nazir a kohen gadol. Now what are you going to do with lachoto? So that's what we do with lachoto. Matamon omar shaya alech leshchot et pischo. He's going to shecht his korban pesach lamol et bino, or going to give a bris milah to his son. V'shamash might lo meit, and he hears that someone passed away. Yochol yitamei. You think he should become tamei? If he comes tamei, he will not be able to perform the korban pesach, either because of lack of milah by his child, or because he can't. He's not going to. He's going to be tamei. He can't bring the korban pesach. So chol yitamei amar zlo lo yitamei. He can't get tamei. Yochol k'shem einu mitamei lachoto. Just like I think he shouldn't be tamei for his achoto, for a relative. Kach einu mitamei le mitzvah. Tamalomer lachoto. For a relative, you're not mitamei, aval mitamei the mate mitzvah. You are mitamei the mitz mitzvah, which says what that you will become. For a mate mitzvah, you will not perform the korban pesach. You will not perform korban pesach in order to bury a mate if you have a mate mitzvah. So what do you see from this? See from this that mate mitzvah is doche avodah, because the mate mitzvah takes priority, the fact over the your ability to do a korban pesach. So Rashi claims that this last case is a case where you have a kohen gadol v'nazir that's a holeich lasot pischo. That's the case here. It's kohen gadol, because otherwise how do you connect it in? There, how does achuto have anything to do with nazir? So Rashi says it's a continuation. We got a case of nazir. Then a case of kohen jot nazir. Then we had a case of kohen gadol nazir. You have a case of kohen gadol nazir plus his holeich lishkot pischo, his holeich lasot milah, which are chiyuvei karet. There are mitzvahs that say that have a few karet associated with them. Nevertheless, we say to you, make mitzvah, take care of it. That's how Rashi keeps the continuum. Tosfos disagrees and says that you don't need it to be kohen gadol benazir. It could just be harei olech lishkot et pischo, or harei the mulut bino. So, what does it mean? Hamart lo yitama. What does this have to do with nazir at all? So he says, because you have an assay by tumat krovim, and it should be docha the assay of pesach, or the assay of milah, which has a karet. So we say no. We don't say, we say the assay of tumat krovim is not doche the assay of pesach or the assay of milah. That's true of the assay of krovim, but it's not true of the assay to take care of a meit mitzvah. So that's the way Tosfos learns. Tosfos learns it has nothing to do with kohen gadol and nazir, but it has to do simply with the fact that you have a competition or some sort of decision to make about two mitzvot to say, which way does it go? One of the mitzvot to say is found here, is that for relatives, lo itama, that means normally you should be mitame for your relatives, means there's a mitzvot to say. On the other hand, over here you have a mitzvot asay, to do Pesach and to do the milah. So in that competition, which one wins? Right, and then Tosfos after it tries to still work out Rashi's pshat and say that that doesn't matter. I mean, even with Kohen Gadol ben Nazir, if Kohen Gadol ben Nazir is mutar, then Kohen Gadol ben Nazir plus Pesach makes sense that it would be also be mutar. You're not adding anything. The fact that he's a Kohen Gadol ben Nazir and going to do his Pesach. All right, so now the Rish Lakish's question is very basic again, that you have a logic, transitive property of logic, which is that if A is greater than B, which means that if Meit Mitzvah takes precedence over Avuda, and B is greater than C, that Avuda is greater than Shabbos, then Meit Mitzvah should be greater than Shabbos. It says, what do you do? So what do you do about this? Shabbos, shenitcheit mipnei Avuda, eno din shenitek v'rat Mitzvah doch ha'ota. So certainly it should work over here. So B'yokhan responds to Malay, Ritzicha tochiach. Right, by killing, I'll prove to you that it's not the case. Why? That's how it connects to our Gemara now. Why? Because shedochet avoda, tzicha is dochet avoda, ve'eno dochet shabbos. We just saw this before, that tzicha, the execution of an individual, does not take priority over Shabbos. You can't do it on Shabbos. On the other hand, when it comes to avoda, the kohen who's going up to do avoda in the Mikdash, we say, we stop him, we say, no, you come with me, you're going to be put to death, you were hoeg at the nefesh, bye, you're out of here. Sentencing by Beis Din, execution by Beis Din is dochez avoda. We don't let him continue his avoda, we take him out and we kill him. Correct, that's right. Whereas in the case of Ritzicha B'Shavuz, we say it's not dochez. So I show you here that that's not necessarily a logical argument anymore. Just because something is, right, nidchet, right, for instance here, mipnei avodah, that avodah is not docheh, here Ritzicha is docheh avodah, doesn't mean automatically it'll be docheh Shabbat. So just like Meit Mitzvah is docheh avodah, but doesn't mean that automatically it's going to be docheh Shabbat. So I have an example or a paradigm where that doesn't work, so it's not a logical argument. So Mar says, okay, Ritzicha gufa tidcheh to Shabbos. Wait, how do you know that Ritzicha is not docheh Shabbos? Kavachomer. Ma avodah shu docheh to Shabbos, Ritzicha docheh. So here you go, here's your argument, right here. It's the same logical argument. Again, transitive property. If A is greater than B, if Ritzicha, right, takes precedence over Avodah, and B is greater than C, and Avodah is Doche Shabbat, then certainly Ritzicha, the execution by Beis Din, should be Doche Shabbat. So the same logical argument. How do you know that it's not true? Shenemar, because it says, Mi'im biz b'chitik achenu namot. Shabbat shenidechet mipnei avodah, and din shtei ritzicha dochota. Since we have a mibizuchin etachen alamot, you're allowed, Beis Din's allowed to take him and execute him even away from the avodah. Shabbos, which avodah overrides, in din shtei ritzicha dochota, certainly execution overrides Shabbos. Amarovok for Pascha tonid Rabbi Shmuel. That, we have a pasuk to answer you. The tonid be Rabbi Shmuel, lo tabaruish. Says lo tabaruish, b'chol moshkotechem, yom Shabbos. Right, so we had last in Sparsha, right, in Parsha Tavayakel, it says, Lo Tvarish, Matam Alomar. Why do you need that pasuk at all? All the Avot Malachot, you have 39 Avot Malachot, they're all Asurim. Why all of a sudden is the Torah mentioning about Lo Tvarish B'chol Moshvotechem? When it says, Matam Alomar, we know what it is, for we have Limudim from that. Either Rabbi Yossi Lalav Yatzat, either Rabbi Natan Lachalik Yatzat. If it's Rabbi Yossi, it's come to teach you that Havar is a lav, and not one of the Avot Malachot that you get Hakaris or Skilah for. Or either Rabbi Natan Lachalik comes to teach you that all 39 Malachot are not one unit, they're each separate. If you're doing Mehel Mechad, you're going to give 39 separate Karbonot Chataot. Kedetanya. We have a Braisa that explains it. Havar al lav Yatza, Divri Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that Havar was taken out of the Parsha to teach you that it's a lav. Rabbi Natan Omer Lachalik Yatza, it comes to teach you that each one of the Avot Malachot is a separate entity, or a separate violation of the Easter of Shabbat. So, just a side note here, that Havar Lalav Yatzot has Nafka Minot. When you believe that Havar is alive, what does that mean now? Once Havar is alive, does it mean it's no longer an Av Malacha? Or does it mean it's an Av Malacha, it's just its punishment is Malkut? Right? Nafka Minot by Yom Tov. What's the din of Havar by Yom Tov? Is the din of Havar by Yom Tov that is still an Av Malacha, and therefore you'll need a Heter Ochel Nefesh to do Havar on Shabbat, on Yom Tov? Or if you say Havar Lalav Yatzot that's no longer an Av Malacha, then even on Yom Tov you should be doing it for any reason, meaning that Yom Tov you should be free to do Havar for whatever reason it is. So does it look, when you say Havar Lalav Yatzot, does it look like things like Mechamer and Tchumim B'Shabbos? These are mitzvot and Shabbos. These are certain restrictions on Shabbos that you have, but they're not part of the Av Melachot? Or is it still an Av Melachot, just has a different punishment? That Minchas Chinuch and other Achronim deal with that Chakira in the Lav Yotzot. Right now, once you've done that, once you've under, so now the Gemara says, okay, so now you use the word, how does that teach me you're not to put somebody to death, execute somebody on Shabbos? Moshavot. Alright, so that's kashale. The problem is moshavot, the word moshavot here. So lo tavura esh b'chol moshavot echem. Moshavot, matan lomar. Why do you need the word moshavot? Michte, Shabbos chovat hagufi. Shabbos is a chovat hagufi, it's the obligations on the individual himself to keep the Shabbos. B'cholvat haguf noheged ben ba'aretz or ben b'chutz la'aretz. That it's no egg anywhere. It's not tuya ba'aretz. It's not tuya ba'aretz. You keep it in Eretz Yisrael. You keep it outside of Eretz Yisrael. Moshavot, Chdiv Rachmano Lomali. Right, the moshavot that the Torah says. You know what's the point of it? Because you don't need the word moshavot. Moshavot generally is used to teach you that anywhere you sit, meaning that even in chutzlart, include chutzlart, but chol moshavotechem means not just in Eretz Yisrael but everywhere. But it's already chayiv everywhere because it's chovat aguf. So what do you need? What do you need this for? So moshavot dichtav rachman alam li at all. Mishum der bishmal. Right. Amar tamid chavah shemer ki yish chet mishpat mavet v'humat. Person has a death penalty, you put him to death. Shemayani ben b'chol ben b'shabbos. I would think that would apply whether it's on chol whether it's Shabbos. Ma ani makayim. Then what I'm going to do with this michalela yomot yumat? That someone who violates, you know, any yisur here, anything that's wrong, should be put to death. B'shar melachot chutz mi mitat beitin. That'll be with anything else except for mitat beitin. Everything we restrict except mitat beitin. Oh, and well, I feel mitat beitin. Or maybe it means even mitat beitin is restricted on Shabbos. Came behumat, and what am I going to do with the pasuk of kiyabish chet mashpat mavet behumat? You put him to death. That's bechol or below b'shabbos. That's on chol not Shabbos. Oh, anyway, lo afilu b'shabbos, or maybe even on Shabbos you put him to death. Tamad omar lo tvaruish bechol moshvetechem. That teaches you. Right, how I have two psukim. They have two psukim here. One pasuk says I kill him, and one says whoever's mechal Shabbos is put to death. So I executing someone on Shabbos is a chilul Shabbos. So how do I deal with the fact that one pasuk says execute on Shabbos or execute any time, and the other one says mechalel mochimat? The other one says if you violate the Shabbos, you have to be put to death. So now how do you reconcile between the fact that you need to execute and that someone who violates the Shabbos is right put to death? So you have one of two options. You can either say that mechalel mochimat only applies to outside of executions of Beis Din, that this is an exception. Or the other way to reconcile it is to say mechalel mochimat, right, is to say that the kiyam mishmar b'avet only applies to chol, only applies on weekdays, but on Shabbos there's no executions, right? So that's it. That's what it means. Lo tvarish b'chol moshvotechem comes to teach you b'chol moshvotechem. No matter where, no burning on Shabbos, no executions on Shabbos. That's v'sreifa. You can't do an execution on Shabbos. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara. Now, if we back that through, now you're going to break up the logic. Let's think once. If you can't execute on Shabbos, so that teaches us that even though executions are doche avodah, executions are not doche Shabbat. Once you know that, then you can go back to Reish Lakish's question. Reish Lakish's question said, Meit mitzvah should be doche Shabbat. Why? Meit mitzvah is doche avodah. Avodah is doche Shabbat. So Meit mitzvah should be doche Shabbat. Well, we say no, because we have an example where that's not true. That even though we have executions that are doche avodah, they're not doche Shabbat. So same thing, Meit mitzvah will be doche avodah, but it won't be doche Shabbat. You can't make such a logical argument. So up to that point in the Gemara, now the Gemara is responding to Reish Lakish's issues. Olahalan umer. So now it says, "Lo tvarish b'chol moshvotechem." Olahalan umer. Vayal lachem elo lachem chukat mishpat odoratechem b'chol moshvotechem. Ma moshvot omer olahalan beitin. Just like over there in Bamidbar, when it talks about the chok that's in the death penalty, there it's in Parshat Masay when it deals with Rotzeach. Right, the parsha of Roseach there it says, "Vayel lechem chukat mishpat odoratechem," which is the adjudication of Beis Din for Rotzchim Shogeg Meizid. B'chol moshvotechem, it says, "Ma moshvot omer lahalan Beis Din af moshvot omer kan Beit Din." So it's over here. So Amar Rachmana lo tvarish b'chol moshvotechem, and it says, "Don't light a fire even in Beis Din, even b'chol moshvot." So based on that, we say that there is no execution in on Shabbos. So now we have concluded the question.
We don't have to find that it's referring to only to Beit Din. As long as we find one, it's already enough to
tell us that we don't execute. That's what the Gemara says. Tosas deals with that a little bit. Why don't we? That's great. Tosas says it's great. By Sreifa, what are you going to do with the other Melachot? Why don't you have to worry about it? Let him do Eskilo and other ones. So Tosos over here, it's a little Tosos on Lamed Hayim and Aleph, asking your question. He says, oh, Ein Ritzicha Dochet HaShabbos. He says, B'Sreifa Necha. He says, okay, when you're talking about Sreifa, that makes sense. But what about the other cases? You still have to light the lead beforehand, so there is some value here. U'B'Shar Chavei Mitos Nami. I feel them under Mekalkel, but Chabura Potter. Over there, you're doing Chabura, which is Mekalkel. Mekalkel on Shabbos is Potter. It's only Nisa Derabonon. So why can't you execute on Shabbos? Do skill on Shabbos. Why can't you do all Kher? Right? Why can't you do Saif on Shabbos? So Tosa says an amazing line. What does he say? Pacha Choshiv Tikun, Deyeshlo Kapara. Mika's basis is a Kapara of the individual. So even though you're doing Chabura on Shabbos, it's a Chabura Latakein. And if it's a Tikun on Shabbos, there was a similar case in the Gemara on Shabbos. What? Oh, Shkita, right. Shkita, there is a, well, there it's a question why you're chayv in Shkita. Rashi says it's because of Tzuveya, right? Rabbi Tam says it's because of Chabura. All right, that depends why you think you're chayv on Shkita. The great example of this is Gemara in Shabbos by, it says, by anger, kola koes. Someone who rips his begadim out of kas, and that helps him to reduce his kas, right? That is considered a tear, right? That's latikun. Now, same thing with avelus. Tearing for avelus is a tear that's latikun. So even though it's an action of kilkul, but it's done with toelet. It's done for something positive. There's a toelet in it. Because of that, it's considered a tikkun. So same thing over here. Even though there's a chabura, and otherwise it should be on Shabbos, the execution should be no problem. But nevertheless, since it's done the kapara, which is the tikkun, it would be a problem on Shabbos. So Tosa says there is a problem with all types of execution, not just in sreifa. But here, the limud is by sreifa, and that teaches us by the other executions as well. So Amar Abaye, Hashtad Amart, Ein Ritzicha Dochet HaShabbos. Now that you say Ritzicha is not Doche Shabbos, right? Ein Ritzicha Doche et Avodami Kal V'Chomer. All right, let's go the other way now. Once you know that set executions don't take place on Shabbos, let us say that executions can't take away from Avodah. Ma Shabbat Shnidchet B'mei Avodah, Shabbos, Avodah overrides Shabbos. Ein Ritzicha Doche Ota, right? And sentencing can't even override Shabbos, then Avodah, Shi Doche et Shabbos, Ein Odin Shlote Ritzicha Doche Ota, certainly it can't override it. Meaning that here again, this is a logical argument. If Avodah is greater than Shabbos, and Ritzicha can't overcome Shabbos, then it certainly can't overcome, right, Avodah. So how come we're saying over here, just before we said Ritzicha, you can pull him away from the Avodah to do it? So Gemara says, what about the Pasuk? You have an explicit Pasuk, it says, Ela, ha, tichtiv, mim bizuchit, achen alamut. What are you going to do with mim bizuchit, achen alamut? According to your logic over here, now if you want to say that Ritzicha sentence, you know, meaning that bringing a execution will not be doch avodah, you have a Pasuk, the explicit Pasuk says, mim bizuchit, achen alamut. You can take him right off the Mizbeach and sentence him and execute him. So Gemara says, how, the carbon yachid? No dachi shabbos, no problem. We can divide between them. You have carbon yochid and you have carbon sibor. Carbon sibor is dochet the shabbos, and therefore, what? Therefore, a ritzichas, a execution won't be dochet carbon sibor because of the transitive property, the logic argument. Carbon yochid is not dochet shabbos. Carbon yochid is not dochet shabbos. Then you can take him away for ritzicha. You can take him away to execute him because the carbon yochid does not over a shabbos, and you use the pasuk miyamiz bechid techen olamot to use it by a carbon yochid. Right, so that's the Gemara's answer. So Amar Rava, Rava says, "Lo tehei ritzicha doche karban yochid." Wait, who says the ritzicha is doche karban yochid? Mikav v'chomer, ma yom tov shenidche mipnei karban yochid. Just like yom tov is nidcheit is pushed away because of a karban yochid, ein ritzicha doche ota. An execution is not doche, right? Yom tov. Carbon yochid, shu doche et yom tov, enu din shlo tei ritzicha doche ota. The carbon yochid can be overriding, avodah of a yochid can override yom tov, then certainly execution shouldn't be able to override the carbon yochid. So now, what, here, this happens to be subject to a machlokas. It's a machlokas tanaim, whether by yom tov you're allowed to bring korbanot yochid or not bring korbanot yochid. So it's only good according to the one who says, right, that this argument of Rava is only according to the one who says that korbanot yochid are doche et yom tov. You don't hold that carbon yochid or dochet yom tov, you don't have this problem at all. And that's what the Gemara is about to say. Gemara says, so hanicha leman damar, so it works well according to one who says ein nedarim nedavot krivim biyom tov. You can't bring voluntary offerings on yom tov, you can't bring carbon yochid on yom tov. Therefore, how are you going to read this whole situation? You read the situation. Karban Yochid is Mi'im Birkei Mizbechi Tekein Olamot. You can't take him away to execute him from a Karban Yochid. On the other hand, with a Karban Tzibur, you can't take him away to kill him, and that'll be the Kav HaChomer. Just like Ritzicha is not Doche Et HaShabbos, so too it's not Doche Et HaAvudah, Avudat HaTzibur. But Elamando Amar Nidar Min HaDavot Kraven Bi Yom Tov, according to one says that it is Doche. Even if Karban Yochid or Doche Yom Tov, Ma'ik HaLameimar, now you have nothing left. You have Karban Yochid and Karban Tzibur, which are now not, according to you, through this logical argument, should not be nidchek mipnei execution. The execution should remain, should be nidchek, and you can keep the karban yochid should be finished, the karban sibur should be finished, and only afterwards you'll do the execution. So then what are you going to do with the pasuk of mizbechi derech alamut? There's nowhere else. Alamar rova, obviously that can't work. Lo mi bai the mandomer the derem in the vote krivim yom tov, daha lo mitkayem, mizbechi klau. So obviously, even according to the one here it's clear that this can't be the logical argument, because then otherwise, mim b'chiz b'chiz t'chen alamud never applies. It doesn't apply with carbon yochid, it doesn't apply with carbon sewer, there's nothing for it to apply. So certainly over here, you can't explain this. Then he says carbon yochid is where it applies, not carbon sewer. When it says mim b'chiz, it says mizbechi amyuchadli. Carbonot that amyuchadimli. Umay nihu. Tamid, what's the carbon that's specific to the mizbech, that's associated with the mizbech, that's the korban atamid. The pasuk tells you that even by karbanot tzibur, you still take him away. So what Rava says in the end, takes away from a biased solution to split between karban tzibur and karban yachid. He says, first of all, according to the one who says that Karbanot Yochid or Doche Yom Tov, you're going to have a place, you're going to come out to a solution or a situation where Mim Zuchil Mechen Lamut never applies. It never applies, that cannot be a logical argument. You can't have a logical argument that undoes a pasuk in the Torah. You have to find somewhere to apply. Once you've applied it, we say it applies to Yochid and Tzibur. But even the one, according to the one who says that Karbanot Yochid are not Mukravim and Yom Tov, and therefore what is he going to say? Mim Zuchil Mechen Lamut, executions override Karbanot, that's Karban Yochid. Where did Avodah override the executions? That's why Karbanot Tzibur. And he'll be fine. He can explain everything. Rabbi says, even according to that individual, the pasuk reads, Mi'im Mizbechi. Mizbeach Hamyuchadi. Mizbeach Hamyuchadi is for the Karbanot that are particular to me, the one special Karbanot. What are those? The Karban Tamid. So even Karbanot Tzibur are included in this, that if someone who is going to be executed can be taken away even from a Karban Tzibur, according to all of these opinions. Tosos over here asks one question about how do you know, the Gemara takes it for a given, that you're not allowed to execute on Yom Tov. How do you know you're not allowed to execute on Yom Tov? On Shabbos, we know you're not allowed to execute. We have a pasuk, Bo Tvareish, B'chol Moshe Vatechem, Yom HaShabbos. How do you know that that applies also by Yom Tov? So he says, because you have a choice over here, you have a choice to say that it does apply, it doesn't apply to Yom Tov, and he says, well, always go to Chumrah when you have a choice to do it. So here we're going to go to Chumrah and say that Ritzicha is not Doche Shabbos. If you're going to learn from Shabbos, the Shabbos Yochiach. Shabbos shows you that you can't override these issues, or that executions do not override Shabbos, and then Yom Tov falls into that same category. Right now, I want to deal with two quick sugyot. They come up from, one is from Rashi, and one is from Tosos over here. First one we'll do is Tosos. Tosos asks a very simple question. The Gemara said before, Ritzicha Tochiach, right, that you're not allowed to, over here, by Ritzicha, you're not allowed to, we can see from executions that in execution you're allowed to be taken away from the Mizbeach, because it says, Mi'im Mizbechi Techen Olamot. But the executions are, right, not doche avodah, but they're not doche shabbat. So Gemara also wants to know, why do you have to bring in the pasuk mim mizbechi tichachen olamot? Why do you have to bring in the pasuk mizbechi tichachen olamot to tell me that a kohen can't do avodah, that he take him away from avodah? Why? Because a kohen who kills is pasul the avodah. We have that. It's a Gemara in Brachos. Gemara Brachos says, Bim tomar demash ritzicha dochet avodah, la mishum ritzicha dochet avodah, mishum de gavel lochazi. He's a kohen that can't do avodah here. Why can't he do avodah? Because there we have the Gemara in Brachos that quotes the pasuk from Yishayahu. It says, Uparishchem kapechem, alim einai. When you stretch out your hands, I will close my eyes. Gam ki tarbu tefillah, when you daven, and then you shomea. I don't listen to you. Why? Yedechem damim aleihu, because your hands are full of blood. When your hands are full of blood, we're not going to let you do avodah. Hashem says, I don't want to see your hands. So on that, Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara in Brachos, kol kohen shiraket ha-nefesh lo yisat kapav. Any kohen that is killed does not tochen. So Tosfos is over here. What do you need to be the pasuk? If this is a kohen who killed or did something that now deserves a capital punishment, how could he be coming on the mizbeach? How could he be doing avoda? He's not a good kohen at all. So he gives two answers. Tosfos gives two answers here. Yesh lomar dal korcha chazi. That really is chazi. Dalau mechel avoda. That he doesn't ruin the avoda. Unesiot kopayim chumra ba'almahu. This is a chumra ba'alma. Really, he could do the avoda. If he did the avoda, it wouldn't ruin the avoda. It's just that we have a chumra by nesiat kapayim, since he's giving a bracha, that's not nice, that his bloodied hands should be the hands that give the bracha. That's one answer in Tosfos. Second answer in Tosfos is, oh, yesh lomar, the shiny nesiat kapayim. Nesiat kapayim is different. Lafish harag biyadav. When you kill biyadayim. Vein kategor nases negor. And the prosecutor can't become the defender. It's unique. It's a special by nesiat kapayim. By nesiat kapayim, how can you take the same hands that killed, how can they come here and now and be the hands that give the bracha? So it's inappropriate that ein kategor nases negor. So that's it. Tosfos over here gives these two answers. A major nafka mina between the two answers is whether a kohen is pasul, meaning really pasul in nesiat kapayim, or it's only a chumra derabanan. So the chumra derabanan, or is it psul d'oraisa by a kohen that he can't duchen? So the Ritva over here, the Chiddush Ritva in Makos says, "V'chein yirah labalei tosvot v'hem yitiru kohen shemir v'chazar b'tshuva." So the question comes now: when you have a kohen sharag at the nefesh and then does tshuva, can he duchen? Is the problem that he was harag at the nefesh and therefore he can no longer go back, or is the problem that he's harag at the nefesh and he hasn't done tshuva? But if he does tshuva, he can duchen again. So the Ritva suggests over here that a kohen that is does tshuva is allowed to go back and duchen. But he says, wait a minute, we have this principle. It's a Gemara in the end of Sota. It's a Gemara in the end of Sota that tells us that a kohen shemir at adat, a kohen mishumad, goes out and worships another religion, goes out and worships Avodah Zarah, is not allowed to come back and duchen and be a kohen anymore in the Beis Hashem. So there, the Gemara, the Rishonim discuss over there, if he does tshuva, he's allowed to come back. Because Rashi quotes the famous Machlokas HaRishonim there, because ein davar omed bifnei tshuva. There's nothing that stands before tshuva. If he does tshuva, he can come back. So Ritva says, ein mitiru kohen shemir v'chazar b'tshuva shlema nesiat kapayim. Mashe ein kein b'rotzeach. That's not true by Rotzeach. So even though a kohen which shemir tadat, kohen that worships Avodah Zarah, can come do tshuva and come back, when it comes to Rotzeach, he can't come back. Why? Because his hands are bloody. V'zedat mori harav Levi. That's my the das of my rebbeim. So you have two opinions here. What seem to be that one, a kohen who is chozer b'tshuva, is he allowed to duchen or not allowed to duchen? So the Ritva brings this case that even though by hemir tadat, a kohen who worships Avodah Zarah is not to come back, still a kohen is rotzeach may not come back because of the bloodied hands. So the Rambam, if you look at the Rambam, the Lachos, he says kohen shragat the nefesh. So Rambam passes exactly this way, like the Ritva suggests, that even when you do tshuva, a kohen rotzeach cannot duchen. It goes from Ammonius on the Rambam, where there says that's only the kotav of Raviyah. The Raviyah qualifies this statement, post Ashkenaz, the Ibn Mufursam Laharog. It's only if he's known as a murderer, Mufursam Shemuad Lakach, and he does it on a frequent basis. I mean, this is not a one-time thing that a guy does and he does tshuva for it. It's something where the guy's a mass murderer, a guy who's known for his murders. I mean, that's the type of person that's pasul for Rabbi Akoin, but otherwise he's not pasul. So when it comes to the Shulchan Aruch, when he codifies the Locha, Shulchan Aruch writes over here, Kohen sharagat nefesh, afilu b'shogeg, even b'shogeg lo yisat kapav, afilu asa tshuva. Even if he does tshuva, just like the way the Rambam formulated, the way the Ritva formulated, even if you do tshuva, you cannot come back. Of course, the Rambam says, Hagah, v'yesh lomim, v'yasa tshuva, no se kapav. And if he does tshuva, he can be no se kapayim. V'yesh lahakel o bale tshuva, we should be lenient on bale tshuva. Shlotin odele bifnehem, so we don't close the doors, and that's the minog. What's interesting to note over here, and many of the poskim note this, that the Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to Hemir Tadat, comes to a kohen that worships the Avodah Zarah, says a kohen that was Hemir Tadat, and then does tshuva, Shulchan Aruch says he's pasul, and then he writes over there, v'yesh omrim, that he's okay. Yesh omrim, that he is allowed to do tshuva. So poskim want to know, how come Shulchan Aruch didn't bring the yesh omrim over here, that you're allowed to do tshuva? Shulchan Aruch only gave one halacha. So there are two ways to look at it. Either Shulchan Aruch Somech on the road over there, and he says Yesh Omrim applies in both of them, or Shulchan Aruch really thinks that Ritzicha is different. Ritzicha is different, and you can't duchen like we saw in the Rambam and like we saw in the Ritva, because of the Pasuk that says bloodied hands can't be the ones in Kategor Naseh Snegor. So the Taz Right? It says over here, based on the Shulchan Aruch, he says, it sounds from here that tshuva doesn't help whatsoever. By Tzkoin Shiragat the Nefesh, the Mishnah Berurah quotes over here, says, V'imantul arog, if they forced him to kill someone else, even though you're not allowed to do that, because it's Yerag V'al Yavor, it's one of the three cardinal sins, nevertheless, if he didn't, he was over Yerag V'al Yavor, lo mifsal, l'nesias kavayim b'zeh, he's not over, and he can still do duchenim. And then the Yesh Omrim that he brings down from the Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah says, Hainu afiluk sha'avar b'mezid. If he killed b'mezid, nevertheless, if he does proper tshuva, he can come and duchen. V'achi nachug. And this is the way we're in Noheg, and the Mishnah Berurah says, but there's still some achronim that are machmir. And he says, go see the Be'er Halacha. And the Be'er Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, look in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, mitzadeh d'dakul meis miyad. It's only when someone dies right away from the damage or the murder that you committed. But if he stays around for a little bit, en lachmir b'shogeg. If it's a shogeg and he took some time to die, then we won't be machmir and you can duchen. Then Afilas Hatshuva, he says, he quotes what we mentioned here, that he doesn't bring the Yesh Cholkim, as opposed to where the Kohen Shemir at the Dat, where you do tshuva, he brings the Yesh Cholkim, he doesn't bring it here. And so he says, sounds from this, that you can't, that there's a different din, and the Mechaber believes that you can't do tshuva. Now, the Indian din of the Ramah says it's the Hakel, and then he says that's our minhag, even by a mezid. But he says the Pri Chodosh and the Yerabel are, ain't that tam the Hakel, even when he does tshuva, if it was a mezid. And the Be'er Halacha leaves it tzarech iyun ledina. Ledina, we have to leave it as a tzarech iyun. Now, this brings up some modern day questions, some very important modern day questions, which is, what happens if a Kohen Sharagat the Nevesh lo yisad kapav? So there were questions asked to the Tzitz Eliezer. Number one, does this only apply to Jews, or does it apply to non-Jews as well? So the Tzitz Eliezer says, the Prima Godin suggests, that the Haragakom yesh lomar deino se kapav. Prima Godin quotes, and says in the Tzedek HaDerech that if he kills a non-Jew, he's not allowed to be no se kapav. But the priest, on the other hand, says, Kohen Sharagat the Nefesh lo yisad kapav. He says, that's only by Yisrael. Da raya, where do they bring it from? The pasuk of, Midchem damim aleyu, behorge Yisrael. When Yishayahu is talking about the killers, there is time when people killed Jews. So that's obviously the pasuk, the source is by killing of Jews, not by killing of non-Jews. And therefore, only Jews read pasul. So that's, based on this, the Tzitz Eliezer concludes, V'shapir no seif kapav. That, a person, who is, killed a non-Jew can be nosek kapav, and then he writes here, "Umashikato bekav chomer ben benosh kamachomer koin shiraga kumba milchama." He's at war, ubshat chirum in danger, shabadai nosek kapav. If he had to kill because he was at war and he had to kill a non-Jew, then certainly he can be duchen. Now the Shevet Alevi has a question from someone who killed somebody in a car accident. They had a car accident. They were driving down the road and they hit an elderly individual and they killed him. What's the din? Can he be nosek kapav or not? So over here he says, first of all, he says, the Yisiyah Kapavli people, he says you can definitely duchen still. Why? Chada daya shogeg. He said you were a shogeg, he didn't do it on purpose. Number two is, you did tshuva. And number three is, he didn't die right away. This elderly gentleman didn't die right away, and we saw before that that's one of the qualifications of the Magen Avraham, he has to die right away. And the last thing he mentions is, how do you know this individual was very sickly? He was an old man who was sickly already. How do you know he wouldn't have died? How do you know he didn't kill Gavra Kadla Kotil? You killed a guy that was already dead. I mean, that he wasn't, he was already a treifa. And maybe he shouldn't be chayav in this case. So there, based on that, the Shevet Halevi says, someone who kills in a car accident, b'shogeg, should, willing to be mekil, to not be nosek kapav. The Chavadat, or Ben Yosef, takes this up, about, first of all, chayalei tzal. Can chayalei tzal duchin? Right? So he says, there's a machlokes ha-bishonim, whether this is just a din d'rabbonon and the kraz ha-smachto, whether this is a din in d'oraisa. And that has to do with the two answers we saw in Tosos. According to one answer in Tosos, the problem that the duchin is a din d'oraisa. According to the first answer in Tosos, it's just an asmachto, it's a din d'rabbonon that you can't. So based on this, and he says there are opinions, and machlokes whether when you're hoeg at a goy, can you be nosek kapav or not. So therefore he says, based on this, he wants to conclude that he don't shalai noe natsu rechim lechozek, mevai mash kativ apri chadash, shimansu larog, but the Mishbira quoted that if you were forced to kill someone else, then you're allowed to still be nosek kapav, even if you did it, violated yarog val yavor. Over here, it's no worse than that. There's no onis gadol mazeh that you have to go out to war because there's armies that are fighting against you. People want to kill you. So, of course, you're being forced to do it. So, based on this, He says that you're definitely a Kohen who goes out to battle and was in Tzal and killed a non-Jew, can definitely, if you're doing it in defense, you can definitely duchen. But then the Chavad Das, Rav Yosef, deals with another question, which is a car driver, someone who kills somebody in a car accident. And over here, listen to this unbelievable line in the Chavad Das, on page 3. The Chavad Das says, he says that a driver is in a death vehicle, and a person who kills because they drove recklessly is a murderer. They're not killing b'shogeg. It's not manslaughter, it's murder. And so he says, you have to differentiate. He says, first of all, if he drove recklessly and he killed someone, it's no question, you're amazed, and you are no longer allowed to be nosek kapayim. Period. You're out. Because you killed amazed, there's nothing to talk about. He says, on the other hand, if he drove carefully and he followed the laws, and it was an accident, literally it was an accident over here, then we would say over here that that's a machlokas achronim, which we saw before, whether a person can duchen in such a case. And he says that, based on this, he says it will turn out to be a machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. So according to the Ashkenazim, who go with the Ramah, who seems to find Tosus over here, that there's room to be makil by Kohen. First of all, it might be just the Rabbanon, or that he can do tshuva. So that they can bishkoga, and he did tshuva, then we can he can go duchen. But the Sfaradim, who pass him like the Shulchan Aruch, right, who pass him like the Shulchan Aruch, that a person who is harag at the nefesh b'shogeg and does tshuva can't be nosek kapav. For Sfaradim, they can't do that. But he writes the last line here, he says, umlam haya onus legamrei. So what happens if it's a total onus? He was driving along with all the carefuls, and somebody jumped into the car. Like somebody ran into the street, which happens unfortunately sometimes. He ran into the street, so it's clearly not his fault. He did nothing that could cause the death. It was totally out of his hands. So in that case, he says if he does tshuva, like Chacham Yisrael, then maybe he can be nosek kapav, even a Sfaradi. Because he says, especially if the individual doesn't die right away, we should try to be mekil to help out Bali tshuva. It's very interesting, machlokes. Both Rishonim and Achronim, about what the status of a Kohen Shabbat HaNefesh, where does it apply? Does it apply only to a murderer of a Jew, not of a non-Jew? Number one, does it also apply? Is that a Din D'Oraisa or a Din D'Rabbanan by Kohen Elon Esad Kapav? And what happens if he does Tshuva? Does Tshuva have any impact on the situation? And that will have impact, again, we saw in the cases of where he goes out to war in an army, and when he goes out, when he's driving. If Chas V'Shalom, something happens when a person is driving and causes a death accident. The other issue I wanted to deal with is the Rashi over here. The Rashi says that the Gemara quotes over here that's Chovat HaGufu, that the mitzvah of Shabbos are Chovot HaGuf, because they belong to you. So Rashi gives you, I'll tell you mitzvah Chovat HaGuf, and then the mitzvah that are Chovat HaKarka. Right? So listen to this Rashi. Rashi says Chovat HaGuf, Chovah Mutalat Al Adam. Veinu Mutalat Al HaKarka. It's a Chovah on the individual and not on the ground. Kigon, he gives an example. What's his example? Mitzvat Shvi'it. Say Shvi'is. Shvi'is is not a mitzvah that has to do with the karka. It's a mitzvah on the individual. My goodness. I thought that's one of the mitzvot of Tluyot Varetz. What do you mean? It says not like Trumot and Masrot, which are, and Kilayim and Orla, and all these things that are totally Varetz. Shmita is not totally Varetz. That's Chovat HaGuf. That's a big Chiddush in Rashi that it's considered a Chovat HaGuf over here. The Rishonim deal with this issue. It happens to be a Gemara. The most important Gemara is actually a Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is comparing Shvitat Behemto on Shabbos to Shvitat Karka on Shvit. So Amar Rabba, Midami, how can you compare the cases? First, he's not commanded to keep his behemah from working on Shvit. A person has to prevent his behemah from doing work on Shabbos. That's not true on Shvit. Then the Gemara comes back. Abai says, "Vari sadeh, the dam mutzel shvitat sadeh ubshabbos b'shvis." Abai says explicitly, a person is commanded to ensure that his karka is not worked on Shvit. It's not chovat aguf. It's a chovat to make sure that the karka is not worked. So Rashi over there says, "Why? Adam mutzel shvitat sadeh ushnat shabatoni el aretz." There's a mitzvah to say. It's a mitzvah to say that this land lay fallow. Not just a mitzvah or an isra la that you're not allowed to work the land. There's also a mitzvah that the land itself remain fallow. So from this, there's a Tosfos there in Avodah Zarah that takes issue with Rashi's explanation. And he says, he tries to explain how it is here that you have a Chovat HaGuf or Chovat HaKarko. So he tries to explain the Gemara. There's a very important Tosfos Arid over there. Because the Tosfos Arid says, Hu adin, the Shvitat Karka, the Asur of Shvit, Eino Domo, the Shvitat Behemah B'Shabbat. So he says, Shvita Karka, the Tosis read, says it's only Al Yado. Means that you physically have to work the field to be violated to Shemitah. But there's no rule that you have to let the land lay fallow. He does quote another opinion that says, no, that Shemitah the Karka is a din in the Karka, not in the Guf Adam. That the Karka itself has to lay fallow, and not just that you are not allowed to work the land. So there's a... How could you have this? I mean, there's a question in general. How could you have a possibility? They have a mitzvah at Fulya Baretz. That's a Chobat Aguf. If you remember, we had this Tosus in Baba Basra, and that Pe'al Ref Amar Aleph, by Bikurim. There, Tosus brought this idea that Bikurim are Chobat Aguf, and not Chobat Akarka. Even though they're Tfuya Baretz, and they have to do their Tisrael, nevertheless, their Chiyuv derives from the individual himself, to what to do with the Bikurim. So there can't be such a concept that a mitzvah is Tfuya Baretz, but still is a Chobat Aguf. Like Bikurim, that Tosus explains away, brings two reasons why it's Chobat Aguf over there. So too over here, we're going to say the same thing, that Shemitah is a Chobat Aguf, you know, it's a Tuli Baretz. So if you go to the Rambam in Hilchot Shemitah, in the Koteret for the Rambam to Hilchot Shemitah, he writes that the Hilchot Shemitah, there are 22 mitzvot to Sodit here. So then he starts quoting them. One, first mitzvah, Tishpot Aretz Mishvit Mimlachta. That the Shvi'at, that land should lay fallow. That sounds like it's a mitzvah on the land remaining fallow. The next one is Shlo Yavod Aretz, Shlo Yavod Avodat Ilan, Shlo Yitzor, Shlo Yitzor. That's Chobat Aguf. But then if you look at Halacha Aleph in the Rambam, Halacha Aleph in the Rambam says, Mitzvah that says, Shbot me Avodat Aretz, Avodat Ilan, Shnat Shvi'at. So the only mitzvah is that you can't work the land. What happened to this idea that the land has to lay fallow? What happened to that side of it? And the Sefer Chinuch, when he quotes it, says the same thing. We are commanded not to work the land. Not that the land has to lay fallow, we're just commanded not to work the land. So what are the nafkaminas? You're going to have two nafkaminas over here that are brought down by the poskim. One nafkamina is Nachri. Are you allowed to allow a non-Jew to work your field on? I mean, if he wants to do it, if you sell it to the Nachri to work, obviously he can't work for you, but if he works, because then he's doing your shlichut, but if he works for himself, he rents your land for the year, and then he goes and works on Shvi'it. Do you have an obligation to have your land rest, and therefore the Nachri can't work on it? Or, right, or is the obligation on you not to work the land? If the Nachri wants to work the land, it's fine. That's one nafkamina, whether it's Chobat Aguf or Chobat Akarka. The other nafkamina is, what happens if you plant something right before Shemitah? You plant it right before Shemitah, and then it's mushrash, it roots on Shemitah. So the rooting of the plant and taking hold happens by itself on Shemitah. So if the Chovah is just that you don't do Avodah on Shemitah, you did your Avodah beforehand, like by Shabbos. If you start a Melacha before Shabbos, and then it goes by itself on Shabbos, you don't have to worry about it. On the other hand, right, if you believe that it's the Shemitah, the Karka has to rest, even though you put it into action before Shemitah, if it happens on Shemitah, you're violating the fact that the Shemitah has to rest. So that happens to be, comes out to be a machlokas here between the some of the shutim and the achronim about what the story is. Is there a mitzvah over here? So there's a shut maharit about shvita da'aretz and shvi'it. He says you're allowed to sell it. You can sell it to a goy that's not a bar chiyuva, and he's totally mutar to work the land because working the land is a isur that revolves around the individual himself and not on the land. On the other hand, number beat takes the opposite approach. Number beat says that it has to be that the work in the land is also an isur. So therefore, lo yiskor sadeo b'shvit afilu l'goy, shadam mitzuveh shvitat sadeo b'shvit. A person has to let his land lay fallow on shvit, and there's an isur on the land itself. He quotes that from the Rabbeinu Yishayah Mitranai. He himself, the Mabit himself, says he thinks it's only a chovat aguf, but then he quotes this Rabbi Shaul Meratzinai about this, because Shabbat Shabbaton yeh la'aretz. So he says, based on this, it sounds like this Meshita, that there's a Chovah of Shemitat Akarka on Shabbos. So based on this, it would have an afkamina. One of the things he brought down, I mentioned this when we learned this before, if you remember before when Reish Lakish was walking with those two Chachamim and they saw somebody working on Shabbos, he says, oh, what do they say to him? How are they in Lamitzut? Agiston hi. What does that mean? He was a... What was a Giston hachi? So there are two answers. Rashi gives two explanations. One is that he was working for a good, and one is that he was... What? He was doing it because of Arnona. So, if he's working for a guy, it sounds like what? The issue is that you work the land on Shabbos, work, but not that the land has to lay fallow. So that's the case, you can work for a guy, it's not your land, right? And you can go ahead and work on his land. Now, that could be for two reasons, that's what the Mabi points out. It could be because the guy is mafkia mikdushat haaretz, or it could be because when the guy owns the land, Right? He's allowed to do whatever he wants with his land. There's no, right, chuvat shvita dakarka. There's only chuvat guf, that you don't work the land. If it's the goy's land, he can work his land. He can do whatever he wants with his land. And work it. On the other hand, if you think that the problem is shmita dakarka, then the only dispensation is arnona. If it's arnona, that's the second answer in Rashi. Rashi said over there, well, oh, he's doing it for arnona. Because there it's shmita derabbanon. And because of arnona, we let you, even though the land should lay fallow, right, you should still do it. The Sefer Chinuch, the mitzvah, in the Minchas Chinuch, he brings down this issue about Shemitah. He brings down, he says there's a chakira about Hashrasha. He says, yeah, they need on Ladun, but what's the din by Hashrasha? But also he brings down a very interesting answer, which is what I always thought in the Rambam, when I see now the Minchas Chinuch, that there are actually two mitzvot. The mitzvah that say of Shabbat Shabbat on the Eretz, we saw that Rashi in Avodah Zarah applies to the Shemitah Rakarka. That is a mitzvah la karka atzma. The karka must remain fallow. That is Shabbat Shabbaton Yel Aretz. On the other hand, the pilot of Zriya, Harisha, and not doing work on Shviyas, that applies to the individual. The mitzvah lota say applies to the individual as well. So the mitzvah lota say and asay. The asay applies to Shmita and karka, but the mitzvah lota say applies is only a chovat ha goof and has nothing to do with the karka itself. So he differentiates between them. But then he says, we run into a problem by an isha. What about a woman? If you say that by a woman, mitzvah sasesha is man grama, women are pturot. So over here, so nihi by lavin, certain things that are lavin, like lizrawa, lachrosh, b'ayin shvi'it, that have a specific isra, sodium, and then we say, just like they have a lav, they have the assay. So they're chayavot in both. But what happens if there's something, a pula on shvi'it, that's only usher because of the assay? Is a woman restricted in it? So based on the shita, tzatosos, and others, that's a mitzvah sasesha is man grama, the woman should be fine. She should be able to do these work on shvi'it. So Minchas Chinuch says, no. I'm going to explain to you, there's this ritva, special ritva that tells us that mitzvah sasesha is man grama, it only applies, right, only applies by mitzvot begufo. That only applies to mitzvot begufo. But mitzvot that are karka, there's no such thing as a mitzvah sasesha is man grama. And therefore, by Shemitah da Karka, even though the din is assay is on the Karka, but it's because it's on the Karka, even though it's mitzvah seishas mangaran, nashim will be chayavot. Because it's not like mitzvah begufo. And the last thing is a chazanish that I brought you also, who deals with this issue about hashrasha. What happens if you plant right before Shvi'it and it takes root on Shvi'it? Is that permissible or not permissible? And he says that will have to do with the fact whether the mitzvah Shvi'it is a chuvat aguf or chuvat akarka. If it is, if the issue is Shvi'it at akarka, then it will be a sur on Shvi'it because you're allowing it to root on Shvi'it. Brings down a Yushalmi that seems to lean the other way. Based on Yushalmi, he said it would be mutar l'chadchila to plant right before Shvi'it and have it be mashrish on Shvi'it because there's issers on the chuvat aguf and not to be mashrish on Shvi'it. He says from one of two reasons. It could either be that you're not mashrish on Shvi'it because the only thing the Torah asserted was pilot, milachot on the karka. Even if you say the isser is shvita the karka, it's only pilot that you yourself do on shvita, on shmita. Something you did before shmita doesn't apply. Or you could explain that the reason that Yushalmi is matir is that even though technically you're not allowed to do this on shmita, but nevertheless, because it happens Memelo, there is no chuvata shmita takarka, it's only a chuvata guf, and that's why you're mutar over here. So when he says you could explain it both ways. The fact that you're allowed to allow something to plant right before shmita and then let it root on shmita, you can explain it in one of two ways. You can explain it either because there's only chuvata guf, or you can explain it because the rooting itself is not an avudah bakarka, which is what the Torah restricted. Restricted, yes, it applies to karka, but it has to be something that you actively do on shmita. If you don't actively do on shmita, maybe that's not restricted. Right, we'll stop over here.